morning and welcome to VBS Sunday here at Grace Bible Chapel. I think I probably don't have to tell you, but especially for you who are visitors, normally we don't have lions running around, you know, in our midst, so you don't have to be scared if you have anything against lions or quite all these decorations either. But I think what it does show you is the spirit of the church and the spirit of people here. And just for my sake at all, I want to give one more great round of applause to everybody that did such a great job. Thank you. I can tell you personally, I'm just so proud of everybody here and the work that they did. And for myself, from the other elders, I just want to say thank you. I hope you as kids enjoyed it as well and that it was worth the effort. One of the things that we're going to be doing right now is Bill is handing out little gifts to people who are here for the first time. And something else that should be going around is we actually made up some little things for the kids to be working on while we are, while I am, I should say, talking. So who is taking care of that? Okay, so that should be coming out, so you can be working on that. So Donette, are you going to be working on that one? Okay, good. So, while that's all happening, the theme was, if you can't tell, game on. We're like big billboards here, okay? Some of us bigger billboards than others. Game on. One of the things I've found is that we in the United States love our sports analogies. We use sports analogies all the time. For people who've come here for the first time, it's a little hard to communicate sometimes because we use sports analogies all the time in terms of our communication. So like when I say, he didn't get to first base, you know what I mean there? Or man, he just struck out. What are some of the sports analogies that you've heard, some of the cliches? Foul ball, okay, that was a foul ball, all right? How about some other ones here? While all these things are being handed out. Touchdown, okay, or he moved the ball forward on that one, okay? What would be some other ones? Goal, yes, okay. That one's a little more universal there. See the hands go up there. Or that was a KO, okay. Or out in left field, okay. That's one that you don't get unless you've been left out in left field, right? Okay. Okay, home run. These are all analogies that we use in terms of sports to get across an idea. And so one of the things I think we want to ask ourselves is, if we use the analogy of a game, what does it take to win at the game of life? I was actually thinking about that the other day, and this is where Jim sort of alluded to this. I was turning on my thing so it actually works. I was actually riding through Silicon Valley about 2 months ago. Now, for those of you who don't know, I actually ride a motorcycle that either causes boos or hisses or applause, depending on where you're at. The kids wanted me to actually ride my motorcycle up here during this time. I was really tempted, but it was a little bit too much logistics. So I'm riding along, and these thoughts are actually coming to me because I'm riding to an appointment, and I decided to go a different way, a way that I normally don't go. And so instead I go up 17, I'm taking 101 to get to a place where I need to go, and I'm lost in my thoughts. I'm riding my motorcycle, and all of a sudden I see this very pretty red car as I pass it by, and I look like, and I say, that is a Ferrari that I passed by. And then, just in another moment, I look over to my right, and as I'm passing by, that's a Lamborghini. Now, for those of you who don't know cars, these are sort of like expensive, impressive cars. And then I'm looking around, and I'm passing many Mercedes, a smattering of Porsches here and there, Teslas all over the place, and I'm just going by them like they're standing still. Now, I got to ask you a question. You don't think I'm speeding now, do you? Okay, no, okay, I'm not speeding. You know why I was going by them like they were standing still? Because they were standing still. This was a traffic jam, okay? And I am literally, you know, doing one of those splitting lanes, okay? Which is legal here in California, I'll have you know. And I'm splitting lanes, and I'm passing them by. And there's this beautiful Ferrari just sitting there, you know. And this Lamborghini, somebody just sitting there. And I start thinking about this with all these cars that are more expensive than some of the houses that we live in. And that's saying something around here. Okay, and I'm going by it. And I come up with this phrase, is just because you have a fancy car doesn't mean you're going to get there. Have you thought through that a little bit? I mean, I found it sort of interesting. What does it take to actually win at the game of life? You know, you have to know sort of what you're going for, what you're aiming for. People will tell you all sorts of things. Well, if you get this car, or if you get this house, or you get whatever, that now you have arrived. I actually heard a mother say that to her son-in-law when they got a very big, fancy house. She says, "You've now arrived." Well, have you arrived at that point in time? I can't help it. You know, this is just who I am. But I actually thought of a verse at that point in time, and that verse was this. It says, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance." I think all of us have been in that place where you've tried really hard to get something. Maybe it was a Christmas present you wanted as a kid. Maybe it was something that you had worked really hard for, and when you finally get it, it just doesn't satisfy. You know, it sort of turns to dust in your mouth. So I've found that over the years, it's just really important to really know what it is that you're driving for. Excuse the pun. But what it is that you're actually going for. People in the news all the time, people who've gotten all sorts of money, but their lives just don't seem to be happy. They don't know. They've got the best car in the lot, but they're stuck on the freeway, and it's not taking them anywhere. So I'm driving along, and I've got to admit, I'm a little smug at this point in time, okay? Because I'm riding my motorcycle, and you could probably take two or three of their wheels and sell it, and that'd probably buy my motorcycle, okay? So we're definitely in a different class. And here I am, I'm passing these Lamborghinis and Ferraris by. And I was thinking through this and, you know, singing my happy little song to myself as I'm going by and moving on, because I'm actually getting to my destination and they're not. But I was making a fundamental mistake. Just because you're passing by the Ferraris and Lamborghinis of the world, don't get smug. Judge your own success according to God's standards, not what everybody else is doing around you. There's a verse that says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." It's really easy in life to start making your decisions based upon what everybody else is doing around you. I'm passing them by. I'm going forward. Now, that may work if you're trying out for a team. All you have to be is in the top 10%. It also works if you're trying to outrun a bear, okay? You don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun the person next to you, okay? So that's all you have to do. But if you have to jump a 10-foot gap, it doesn't matter if you jump farther than the other guy. If you don't jump 10 feet, you're still going to fall. And so there's certain things in life where you've got to think through it and say, okay, is this just I have to beat everybody else out? Or is there actually a standard that I have to meet? And it's very tempting to look at all these cars and all these fancy things and say, well, I'm doing better than them. But we're not actually doing it. And so I was about ready to take a little bit of tumble, not that I actually fell on my bike, but the destination I was going for, I didn't make that day, and I'll tell you why. So I'm riding along. I'm sensing, you know, hey, I'm moving, and because I took a different way, I didn't know exactly how to get to the house where I was going. But I knew they were on Mary Avenue, somewhere up there, and I knew that on 101, Mary or Matilda or one of those things sort of came up there. So I was just going to wait for that sign, and then I was going to take it. Well, eventually I saw Matilda Avenue, and I went down the road a little bit there, took the turn off there, but I couldn't find Mary Avenue. And so I drove. I started crisscrossing, going back and forth. I started doing all these various things. And 45 minutes later, I had to admit that I was lost. So here's another observation that I have about life, which is your map doesn't help you if you never open it. I have a map app just right here, okay? But I was on a motorcycle. I didn't want to pull off the road, and I knew I could find it. There is a verse that goes along with this. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is being stuck in traffic. I mean, it is death. I don't know about you, okay? As guys, sometimes we're famous for not asking directions. Most of the time, I try to ask for directions, but I just knew I had this one wired. You know, I knew where I was trying to go and what I was trying to do, but I was wrong. Excuse me. Mark Twain says, "The man who does not read has no advantage over the man who cannot read." Catch that? The man who does not read has no advantage over the man who cannot read. Or as the famous philosopher Yogi Berra said, if you don't know where you're going, you might end up someplace else. Think about that one for a second. Do we actually know where we're going? Do we actually know what we're trying to do? You see, in my pride earlier that we talked about, pride, you actually know what you're doing. Humility says, I'm going to ask for directions. And it's hard sometimes, especially when you think you may be doing better than the average Lamborghini, to actually say, what do I actually need? Maybe I need a little bit of help. So I'm there. I'm stuck somewhere around Matilda, Mary, whatever. I've now looked at the map, and I know where I should have gone and where I should have been like that. But I'm just sort of sitting there, and I am at this point where I realize I'm totally lost. Only pull out the map. I look at it. And it's a little complicated because I've gotten myself way off of track by this point in time. Then I'm going, and I start taking it off to get to where I'm supposed to go. I'm actually going to an appointment, a chiropractor's appointment over there, a friend of mine. And so I'm starting to go this way, and I don't know about you, but my mind tends to wander sometimes when I'm driving because I think about things and I'm sort of chewing on things and I'm chewing on all this stuff right here. And as I am driving this way, guess what? I now know where to go, but I missed the exit. Have you ever been in that spot where you see it go by right out of the side as you're going straight on here and going like, oh, this is one of those days, okay? Where I'm going this. This one, some of you may have seen, this is actually a sign as you're heading down to Tijuana. Some of your families here have actually seen this quite a time, and it says, last exit, okay? This is like, you miss this exit, you're going through a whole lot of, over the bridge and getting checked out. And then if you want to turn around, you've got that 2 or 3 hour wait on the other side coming back on the other one. And it's like, you do not want to miss this exit. And yet, one of the things that we do all the time in this world is we miss our exit. Supposed to get off at this point in time. So let me review with you sort of where we're at, okay? It's very easy to start thinking about all these beautiful things that the world has to offer and say, this is what's going to make me happy. But you know what? So often, it doesn't. And you can spend all this money, all this time, and many of us have over decades of time, and we get there and we say, you know, it just didn't do anything for me. Everything I hoped for turned to dust. But we're very tempted to start looking at everybody else's life and say, well, at least I'm doing better than them, without realizing that that is not necessarily what makes us happy. Okay, just beating somebody else out is not necessarily going to do it. And so we finally take out the book. Okay, the book that has the instructions that tells us what to do. And this is the Bible. And you start looking at it. But there's a real danger of us getting that close, actually taking a look at the book, actually understanding what the answer is, and then not taking it. This is actually one of the verses that we learned during VBS. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Bible says, in Matthew 7, it says, enter through the narrow gate, or you might say the narrow exit, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I'm not quite sure where you're maybe at on this road of life, the game of life that we're talking about. There's a lot of things to keep you busy, especially as you're sitting there in traffic. You can't text, listen to your audio, I guess whatever you do during those times that might be absolutely bonkers. But it's easy to lose sight of actually what am I going for? What am I aiming for? Is it all this bling that's stuck in the same spot you are? Or is there something bigger and something greater? And so the Lord says there's really only one thing necessary. The gate is small. The gate is small, and it actually has a name on it. The name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And if you believe in his name, you have the right to enter into his kingdom and start enjoying the abundant life that he's promised. He said, I came that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly. So anyway, here I am, and I've passed by my exit. And at this point, I pull over, I give up, I pull out the phone, because I'm already an hour and 15 minutes late for this appointment. And I say, hi, Carl. It's Carl. I say, I'm not going to make it, if you couldn't tell. And I tell him a little bit about getting lost and where I'm at. And he says, no problem, Rick. Let's schedule for next week. That's what good friends do. Okay. Of course, if I did it the next week, I don't know. But we made it the next week. You know, sometimes life gives you second chances. Sometimes we say that God is a God of second chances. And I don't know where you're at, what you've done, what parts of this game of life that you've played and what parts that you've failed at. I don't know whether you've gotten stuck like myself somewhere off track or wherever it might be. But I want to say here that God is a God of second chances. But I also want to say that like that sign that we saw, sometimes there's the last exit before you have to cross the border. And none of us actually know when that last exit is. So there's one last verse that I want to mention to you as we talk about this. And it's 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 2. It says, "And working together with him," this is Paul speaking, "we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation." Today would be a wonderful day to take that right exit and end up in the right spot. Recognizing that all these things that your kids were learning about the game of life, we can all be winners because somebody else paid the price for us, somebody else has staked out the territory, and all he's doing is saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Game on. What are we going to do with it? Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then I've got a couple of announcements. I want to say thank you so much for this VBS that we've had and for all the good things that you've given us. And I pray, Lord, that you would be using this in the kids' lives and in our lives as well to really make us think through what is life all about. And when we say game on, Lord, that we know what the answers are to cause us to win and to cross that goal line victorious. We thank you, Lord, that you've done it and that want us so much that you were willing to make it possible so that we could do it. Now, we pray, Lord, for the time of food and fellowship that we're about ready to have, that it bring you honor and glory and joy to your saints. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, so a couple announcements.